How are you, Mayor?
Good. How are you, Tony?
I love those engagements that you have on Fox. Is that fun for you?
It's been okay. I mean, irritating sometimes, but yeah.
Well, it's obvious that they're putting that on. They want to get the other side. You know, being a Michigander, of course, I'm going to be against what the other guy's saying, but I get it. It's TV.
People on my Facebook sometimes say, well, why do you argue with Fox News? You're never going to get anywhere. But I said, you know, I'm going to stand up for what I believe. And it's not like all one side is watching Fox. There are independents and Democrats and everybody. And I want to get my message out. If you believe in what you stand for, then you want to shout it from the highest mountain.
Mayor, do you think of all the networks who do news that Fox tries to be fair and balanced when it comes to overall news, not necessarily the host of news programs?
I think they try no harder than any other station.
Yeah.
I think they have a point of view, and I think many stations do. You know, sometimes I feel like they're pushing an agenda more than others in terms of hard news. You know, I don't see that much difference in terms of when the Japan incident, for example, the Japan tragedy, they're covering it. I don't see a discernible difference between them and another network. Political news, domestic political news, I feel like they definitely have a slant. But, you know, I watch it because I try to watch them all. I want to know what they're up to.
All right, I'm going to put my backside in the fire. How do you think we do here in the local media on trying to give both sides of the story?
I think, and I'm not, you know, I tell you exactly what I think. I think you all in local news do a very good job. I see, I notice, no, I'm not always happy with it, but I feel like it's not slanted toward any one person or any one party.
All right, I feel like the giver of doom and gloom when it comes to news today, because obviously we've been talking about your proposed general budget fund, which is 99.5, 178.7 million overall. Man, without that millage proposal, a lot of people are going to lose their jobs.
Well, that's the toughest thing about it, Tony. As you know, I balanced five budgets with no millage increase and with no layoffs. You know, we've been able, we reduced the size of government over 200 positions. We have been doing, if not more with less, the same with less. And it was very painful to deliver that news. It's been painful over the last few weeks to work with our unions to tell our workers that this was going to have to happen. So it's very difficult. I hope we don't have to go through with it, but I have to build a budget based on realities. I have to provide a balanced budget. I'm not, you know, unlike the federal government, I can't run a deficit for a period of years. You know, I'd love to say, look, we'll close the deficit over 5 years, phase it in. I can't do that. I have to balance the budget right now, every year, and we've done it. And we have a AA credit rating. I'm proud of that. We're not going to go into receivership, but that means we have to make tough decisions. In local government, you don't have a lot of options. I mean, basically, you either cut services or you raise taxes. It's that simple. And when it snows, people expect the snow to be removed. When there's ice on the road, people expect salt. When there's huge potholes, people expect to have them filled. And I'd like to be able to do that. So that's what the millage is about. I want to make sure those 911 calls get answered. When people call 911, they're not calling the state capitol. They're not calling in the feds. They're calling local government. I have to make sure those 911 calls can be responded to. That's what the millage request is about.
Worst case scenario, and I appreciate the courage that you had to give the worst case scenario, much like Kathy Dunbar did, to propose the millage, because obviously there's going to be some in opposition. But worst case scenario, Lansing is not going to be able to provide the same police and fire services that we're used to if these layoffs should occur, worst case scenario.
Well, exactly. And that's why, Tony, my point is to be honest about it. You know, for 5 years, I've said we can do it. We'll become more efficient. We'll make cuts. We'll make sacrifices. And we have. And I have to say hats off to the city employees who have been working harder, faster, and smarter. You know, when people retire, they're not replaced. The other people left behind, they do more. And we've been doing it. And I truly am proud of our workforce at the city. But now I'm crying uncle, and I just want to be honest. It's a choice that the voters have on May 3rd. It's their choice. But I'm being honest about it to say it is not going to be the same. It is not going to be the city government that you know. For 5 years, we've been able to suck it up. We've cut $42 million out of the budget. We've become much more efficient, and we're still going to implement efficiencies, by the way. If this millage increase passes, it's only close to half of the deficit. We're still going to have to continue to make tough decisions and implement efficiencies, and we will. That is my promise. But If it's $20 million we have to cut, it is going to be ugly. I got to be honest about that. City government is going to change. I won't have any money for potholes. Frankly, we're coming up on the season where pretty soon there's going to be a thaw, and you see the potholes coming out. I'll have nothing to fill them with. We haven't had any help from the state. Just the opposite. We've lost $40 million in the last few years in revenue sharing. It's now catching up with us, and we've got to do something. We've got to make a stand for the quality of life in this community. For two-thirds of the people, it'll still be a tax cut, Tony. My home is an example of it. My taxes are going down because my property value is going down. So my taxes are going down like $500. Even after the millage increase, I'll still get about $100 in a net tax reduction. And that's the case with two-thirds of our residents. So I think it's a worthwhile investment to say, here's a five-year millage increase, and maybe in that 5 years your property value will go back up. Maybe we won't need it in 5 years, but we sure as heck need it now to preserve the quality of life in Lansing.
You are listening to Lansing Mayor Virge Bonaro live on the Tony Connolly Morning Show on 1320 WILS. Okay, we know what worst case scenario is. We could lose up to 130 employees. Let's say the proposed millage is passed. What exactly does this mean? How many of those employees and how many services would we keep with that passed millage?
Well, it looks like now about half of the officers that we would lose, we would keep. And the same thing with the firefighters, about half we would keep. And we would be able to reopen two of the fire stations. As opposed to losing three fire stations, we would just lose one. So it's a significant difference. We're going to target all that money. You know, it would be 90% to police and fire, 10% to roads. And that'll go right into those things. And we'll continue to implement efficiencies, like I said, in government, in city government, which we must do. We'll also be negotiating with our unions even further concessions because, again, there'll still be a significant deficit to close. So, you know, hopefully we can have a lot less loss of police and fire. And by the way, Tony, I just wanted to mention, some people have said, I see on the blog, some people have said, well, you know, you're targeting police and fire. You're trying to make it hurt. I just want to say that's absolute bull. I have preserved public safety every year. If you look at my budgets, public safety, police and fire have been insulated. I'm not saying they haven't made any concessions, but we haven't lost any. We've got more police on the streets today than we had when I first became mayor. We've made this a priority, but now there's no place else to go. Police and fire is over 50% of the budget. I can't cut 20% of the budget and ignore the largest portions of it. I can't do it. I don't know how it would be done. I'd have to eliminate other functions of city government, and city government must go on.
How do you go to those people and say, look, I know I've been asking for the last several years, but I need more concessions?
Well, it's not easy, Tony, but I tell you, I meet with our union folks regularly, our workers. They're great people, and what I told them was, all I can promise you is honesty. I remember one of our meetings, they said, well, look, you know, what can you give us some guarantees? If we do this, if we do that, can you guarantee us that it won't be worse next year, that you won't be back here in a few months? And I said, I got to be honest with you. The only thing I can promise you is transparency and honesty. I can promise you that when I know something about the state government, about what they're doing or about our revenues, how it's coming in, I will share it with you immediately. So we'll be in this. We're in the boat together. I want your input. I want to be at the table together. Let's attack the problems. Let's all of us work together around the table and attack the problems and not attack each other. And I have to say they've been terrific. You know, they're not always pleasant meetings, but look, these are good people trying to do the job. I understand the predicament they're in. The thing is to remember that we're all in it together. I didn't create the budget mess. I see some people online saying, well, the people who created the mess should be held accountable. Yeah, I agree. Let me know. Let's get the folks on Wall Street that created this problem. We've done all the, you know, we've taken the steps. We've been prudent. That's why we have a AA credit rating in Lansing. A lot of cities are on the brink of bankruptcy. We are not in Lansing. I'm very proud of my budget team. I'm proud of my cabinet. We've been doing more with less. But now we're being asked to do an impossible job because of these cuts and because of the drastic drop in property values. Nobody could prepare for that. No government could prepare for that. That's why so many governments are in trouble, because property values are dropping like a rock, and that's where local government gets their funding in Michigan.
Mayor, we've got two more questions for you. Number one, I've read these reports that said Lansing Mayor Virge Bonaro told the police not to arrest protesters on state capitol grounds. I know you'd like to address that.
Look, the chief of police runs the police department, but these are, let's face it, there are issues, financial issues and political issue when it comes to clearing out the Capitol, when it comes to Capitol security. We're working with the state police and the governor's office to develop a memorandum of understanding, a protocol for how and when Lansing police officers will be used. We need to have that. Tony, nothing has been in writing up to this point. It used to be more of a rare occurrence that we would be asked. You think about when the Nazis protested. We all got together. There was a plan put together. It used to be a rare thing, but now that you've got these protests every other week at the Capitol, and we're being cut, Lansing Police Department, we've lost $7 million in revenue sharing so far this year, and state police is being cut. Look, I can't afford right now to be the regular police force for the state capitol. That is, state police is the primary police there on state property. So we just need to work out an understanding. If the state police need us, we will be there. If there's an incident, you know, if they need mutual aid, by God, we will be there for them. But the issue is routine capital security. When the governor or the state police commander makes a decision to clear the capitol, we need to have a protocol for that, and we will.
So who gave the order to clear the Lansing police during those protests?
Chief Teresa Shemansky.
Okay, and that wasn't ordered by you?
It was in consultation with me.
Okay.
And often when you have a political situation like that, like a political protest, you're going to have consultation with political leadership. If there's a barricaded gunman, the chief isn't going to call me and say, I mean, she'll keep me abreast of it, but she's not going to call and say, well, do you think we should go in? Should we send in the dogs? That's a tactical police decision. If you're talking about a political protest, then by all means, yes, I will be consulted. And if you look at the city charter, it says clearly the mayor has all the powers of a sheriff and in order to keep the peace. So it is my obligation, my responsibility to pay attention to those situations.
All right, Mayor. And finally, before I let you go, I hear football, basketball coaches say they don't read the blogs, they don't read what fans say. But I know that you do read the papers and listen to the media and go to these blogs. Does it irritate you? Why do you do that?
I try to keep abreast, and, you know, I can't always afford a poll. I don't read much polling. But I get a lot of my news information online, and it's easy to then see comments. So I think generally a lot of times people are more negative. I think they express themselves more exuberantly, perhaps, in an anonymous fashion. I think it'd be a lot better if it wasn't anonymous. But, look, I try to get input. You know, I read the email that comes to my office. You know, if people call my office, I call them back. I engage them. So it's just part of the job.
All right. Thanks so much, Mayor. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Tony.